Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat? We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio.
Might have popped out to a restaurant over the past couple of weeks, and some restaurants have been adding surcharges to the bill. Also, you might have been shopping at the supermarket and thought, hang on a second, why is this price saying that it's reduced and it previously was this price? When I know it was actually a different price to that. Do you get confused by supermarket pricing? Well, let's find out where we stand in terms of our consumer rights. Nicole Rich is the director from Consumer Affairs Victoria. Nicole, good afternoon. Great to chat with you.
Hey, Warren. Good afternoon.
Now, we've seen reports that restaurants are adding surcharges, not just for public holidays, but for whole weeks or seasons. What's the law regarding restaurant or cafe surcharges?
Yes, it's a good opening question. I've seen those reports in the news as well. I think we're all kind of pretty familiar with the surcharge on the public holiday, but we are seeing reports that a lot of restaurants are sort of adding holiday surcharges. So look, essentially in Australia, restaurants and cafes, those, bistros, they can apply a surcharge, but they must tell you about it on their menu or display it visibly if they don't have menus, like, you know, going along to the takeaway window. And they actually have to use very specific words. They need to say a surcharge of whatever it is, percent applies on, and tell you the days that it applies. So it is lawful, but they have to tell you clearly. But they're a bit of an exception because most businesses actually aren't allowed to do that. And we can talk about what the requirements are for pricing displays more generally. Restaurants are a bit of an exception because surcharging is sort of considered reasonable in certain circumstances.
But if you go to pay the bill and they say, oh, there is a, you know, there's a surcharge to add onto the bill, that's not right. They've got to tell, that's got to be clear beforehand in that.
That's right.
Wording.
That would be a breach. They just haven't told you the correct pricing, essentially. So it's misleading.
So if that does happen to us, Nicole, what should we do?
Well, look, I would say, you know, there's two sort of key things. One is obviously if you feel comfortable raising it at the time directly with the business and pointing out that it's not fair and actually probably pointing out that it's not allowed. And secondly, reporting it to us or to our colleagues at the ACCC, which is familiar to people, or to us at Consumer Affairs Victoria, are probably the key things you need to do if that happens.
Something that interests me considerably is supermarket pricing. It's been in the news a lot lately, and we've also seen the federal government make some comments recently about putting pressure on supermarkets to lower prices. Does Consumer Affairs or the ACCC have any control over regulating prices in supermarkets?
Yeah, it sure has been a hot topic, hasn't it? So we've talked a lot on this program about the Australian Consumer Law, which is, you know, terrific law that protects everybody. But one thing it doesn't do is it doesn't regulate the actual prices of products and services. So generally speaking, I guess in Australia we have, you know, a market economy. There are some exceptions with things like electricity and gas and water, but generally speaking, we don't regulate the prices that businesses can charge. So, I mean, there are things you can do. You know, if you think a business is charging too much, obviously you can tell them or you can choose to take your business elsewhere. But more specifically, the Australian Consumer Law does regulate how they have to tell you about the prices, which we touched on just before. So businesses aren't necessarily obligated to tell you the price, but if they tell you their prices, then obviously they have to be accurate, they have to not be misleading, they have to be genuine. There's a range of other rules that apply.
What are some examples of misleading pricing?
Yeah, there's unfortunately quite a few, Warren. I would say some that maybe people are most familiar with would be what we might call was now pricing. Mm. So, you know, you've probably seen that at the supermarket, you know, was $5 now, $4.50. That can be misleading if the was $5 is not really accurate, which we can talk about. There's been a little bit in the news about that lately. Some other examples might be what we call drip pricing or component pricing. So in Australia, there are laws around the fact that you've got to tell consumers essentially the single total price that something's going to cost, but there are a range of ways in which businesses sometimes try and get around that. And obviously just telling people the wrong price or a false price is also an example of misleading pricing.
Let's talk about the was now pricing. Obviously the now is what we're going to pay when we go to the checkout, yes. But I have seen it where the was price is not necessarily the price that it was at that supermarket before. What's going on there?
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. And we've seen complaints about that. And in fact, I've seen that the ACCC, our colleagues, have actually recently launched legal proceedings against a company for using was now pricing when it just wasn't accurate. So the sorts of things that you might see would be that's right, you know, the business, whether it's a supermarket or another business, has said, you know, it was whatever it was, but maybe it wasn't ever at that price at that store, or maybe it was only at that price for 30 minutes last week, but most of the time it wasn't. Or, you know, they only sold a handful of products at that price, but most people didn't pay that price. Those would be examples where it's just not actually a genuine past price and therefore not a genuine discount. So it's being misleading about what the discount is that you're going to get or the value of the product.
Is the, I suppose, the media attention, the news attention that this is getting at the moment, will that sort of make the supermarkets think, hang on, we better be right, we better be accurate in terms of our was price and now price?
Look, I hope so. I mean, I would hope that it's, you know, not just being done as a deliberate strategy, but obviously when you see sort of some of these legal proceedings that need to be started to crack down on it, that's obviously a big concern. And I've also seen, you know, I see a lot of social media posts where people are complaining about this sort of thing and pointing out where it's clearly wasn't accurate or it was unfair. So I think even just things like us talking about it and making more people aware about it is really important, because it just isn't acceptable and it shouldn't be happening. And again, I'd really encourage people to report it if they see that sort of behaviour, because it does need to be stamped out.
Something that concerns me is when you go to buy something from a retailer and they say, we will price match a competitor. Yes. And in fact, there was even an online site I went to the other day and a pop-up popped up and it said, our automatic, you know, price match, we found that we are the cheapest, blah, blah, blah. And of course, I went searching and they weren't the cheapest. And I thought that was a little bit misleading. What are some things to keep in mind when a retail outlet promises to price match a competitor?
Look, that's right. And I mean, I think essentially what the promise of price matching is doing is not actually necessarily offering you that product at the cheapest price available. Like you've just pointed out, if you do some homework, you might find that actually it isn't. But it's sort of a way of trying to tell consumers to trust them, because, you know, why would we promise to price match if it wasn't the best deal? But it maybe encourages you not to shop around and look for the best deal. So I think you've got to be really cautious about those kind of claims. And nothing beats actually doing your own shopping around for the best deal. So that would be and you've just discovered that yourself, Warren. Yeah. But also, you know, obviously businesses don't have to promise to price match, but if they do promise to price match, then they actually have to comply with that and meet that. So if they say we've got a price match and you go in and ask them to do that, or you have bought the product from them and then you discover that, they promise to price match if you discover it cheaper elsewhere, you should go in and make sure that you enforce your rights. So they can't do it in a way that's misleading. They can't leave out important, you know, disclaimers, we'll only do it here or there. They actually do have to comply with their promises. The last thing I'd just say about price matching is I think it's also a little bit sneaky sometimes, because some of these big stores would regularly say, well, we guaranteed lowest price for this product or price match. But it turns out that they've got some kind of exclusive deal with that particular brand or supplier, and they're really the only place you can buy that particular version of that product. So you could find really similar products elsewhere, but if it's not the exact same make and model, then they're not... You know what I mean? They're getting around sort of having to provide the best deal, but they're providing the cheapest version of that product. It's just that you can't get it from anyone else.
Nicole, I had to buy a new doorbell the other day, and I went into one of the electronic retailers, one of the big names, and it had a price, a big yellow ticket in red writing, and it said, this price on it. And I went up to the checkout, and the price at the checkout was different to what was displayed on the ticket. And I checked the ticket again, and it was accurate. And it wasn't significantly different, but it was, you know, there was a difference. And I just thought, oh, I can't be bothered arguing. And so I paid the more expensive price for it. I needed to get it fixed. And then I thought afterwards, I must ask Nicole the next time we chat, what happens if you do, there is, I suppose, more than one price for a product, and the price at the checkout doesn't necessarily match the displayed price.
Yeah, so in the consumer world, we have a name for that as well, Warren. It's called multiple pricing. So it's right. Another form of potentially misleading pricing that I didn't mention earlier. Right. This is actually the most common kind of pricing query we receive at Consumer Affairs Victoria. So because, you know, it can happen both. It could probably happen deliberately. It could also probably happen inadvertently. You know, when stores are updating pricing and they put a new ticket on, they might forget to update it in their system or the register, or they might accidentally, like, not properly stick the new sticker over the old one. Those kind of things can happen.
So
we do
errors.
See a bit of this. Yes, there can be genuine errors, and there can also be sort of, I don't know, potentially not so genuine. But either way, it doesn't really matter. It's the impact on the consumer that the law takes into account. So under the Australian Consumer Law, if essentially there's multiple prices, or at least, you know, two or more prices, the business must sell the product for the lowest displayed price or withdraw it from sale until they have corrected the price.
I should have given you a call.
Yeah, so I feel a bit sad that this is why I always say, Warren, you know, make sure you know your rights, and then please don't be afraid to exercise them. Supermarkets are also a special case because most of them are signed up to a code of conduct that covers scanning. And some people are aware of this, but if you go to the register and it scans at the wrong price, the code of conduct says you're entitled to get the first item for free. And the roommate, like, you know, like, let's say you're getting, like me, multiple cans of tuna, perhaps, you know, you might get the first one for the lower for free, and then the rest for the lower price. So it's worth being aware of your rights in that situation.
That's interesting, because I thought that was only happening when scanning was first introduced. You know, supermarkets said, you know, if the price scans wrong, you'll get it for free. So we can still say, hang on, if it scans at the lower price, we get it for that price.
Yeah, and then just more generally under the law, for all businesses now under the Australian Consumer Law, they must sell it at least for the lowest displayed price. So that is a really important thing to remember.
Oh, I could have saved $5 on my doorbell.
Well, that is what worth being aware of your consumer rights is valued at.
Definitely. How many businesses are prosecuted for incorrect pricing? Is it pretty common?
Look, it's not overly common, in the sense that there's probably other really kind of pernicious practices that tend to get most attention in the sort of world of consumer protection. But there are a range of options that we have to tackle it. And like I said, we do get a number of queries and contacts and complaints every year. So we'll take a range of actions. And I also just referred earlier that, so our colleagues federally often take the lead on some of these issues, because they can often be, you know, like nationwide chains of stores. So the ACCC has actually taken a number of recent actions around these sorts of practices. I mentioned one earlier where they're taking a mattress company to court for using misleading representations and misleading WasNow pricing. And they've even put the NBN on notice about the fact that they're monitoring pricing changes. And they've started court action against a really large energy provider, Energy Australia, late last year as well, for alleging misleading price information. So there's quite a number of examples. So again, just another reason why it's really important that if you see this sort of thing, please don't, as well as sort of being aware of your own rights, it's important to report it, because we do take action where we see these kind of breaches.
Nicole, where do we report it?
Yeah, so probably, you know, the easiest is report it to us. If in doubt, report it to Consumer Affairs Victoria. You know, we have the consumer.vic.gov.au website, and you can report through there, or you can report by calling us on 1300 558 181. So they're options for people, or of course our colleagues at the ACCC, who I noted are taking action, are also a good option if you want to report it.
Nicole, because of you, thanks to you, we can all go and shop in confidence. I love it.
I hope that's right. I mean, I really think, look, you know, on a serious note, it's pretty tough out there at the moment. A lot of people, you know, budgets are tight, prices are increasing. And I said earlier, like, it's hard for us to regulate prices, and there's a lot of reasons why prices are going up. But the last thing you need in that context is to then actually be misled or ripped off by unfair pricing practices. So I think it's really important that people do know their rights and that you call it out and stand up for yourself and ask for a better deal if one is available. You know, that is something you can do to try and just keep a bit of a lid on some of these price rises at this time.
Nicole, great to chat with you. We'll talk to you again next time.
Thanks, Warren.
That is Nicole Rich, the Director from Consumer Affairs Victoria. For more information regarding your consumer rights on any topic, check out the Consumer Affairs Victoria website. There is a wealth of resources there. That website is consumer.vic.gov.au. So consumer.vic.gov.au.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app. No matter where you are.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.